T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bend the rules for Michael Leibowitz, and before going to a rant line call, we can take a live call, 860-522-9842. If you want to talk about natural-born citizens or any of the stuff we've been discussing today, you're welcome to keep those calls coming, and we'll also mix in some rant line calls. Michael Leibowitz, of course, a prisoner for 25 years in the state system who joins us regularly here on WTIC. Michael, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, Todd. I have got a great government incompetence story for you.
Government incompetence. I love it. There's nothing better than the incompetence stories that emanate from the state prison system. Go ahead.
A little bit over 2 weeks ago, my housing unit was tested for the COVID-19 virus. After we got tested, you know, they allowed us to continue going on as if, you know, nothing happened. We all were allowed to mingle with each other, use the same phone, same showers, everything. For 2 days this went on, and then between 5 and 8 guys in my block had tested positive, so they had to be taken out of here in quarantine. But they had already been allowed to mix with us for those 2 days. So now, even if our test came back negative, we would have been exposed after our test, and there'd be no way to know if we were positive.
Right.
Now, if that weren't enough, this morning when I was going to get my medication, out of my block window, I can see the block that's adjacent to ours. It's C block. On the C block
the what?
Door.
Oh, the C block. Okay. And what's it say on the door?
It says COVID quarantine unit. PPE masks and gloves required, which is interesting because I can see several inmates walking around without masks, and I could also see a correctional officer walking around in there without a mask. This is the second time that happened. A couple weeks ago, I saw the same thing, except for that time, the correctional officer actually came out of the unit without a mask. So as you can see, I mean, it's just typical government incompetence and indifference, but I thought you'd like to hear it. Before I go, can I answer your Eversource question?
Sure.
Okay, so you asked who was to blame, Eversource or Pura, right? Am I framing the question correctly?
Well, I wouldn't say Pura per se. I'd say the government regulators. That would include Ned and everybody who leverages them in any way.
Okay, what I would say is that I don't know who you would blame in a particular instance. What I would blame is the regulatory environment that grants Eversource a virtual monopoly, thus depriving them of competition. Because they don't have to worry about their customers going elsewhere, whereas if they did, they probably have a fire lit under them. That's just my take on it. Thanks a lot, Todd.
Okay, do you You have to go?
I don't have to go. I mean, I could stay here forever if you want to talk.
Well, forever might be a little too long, but just rushing off in the middle of a thought, I don't get why you're doing that.
No,
let me ask you a follow-up question.
Okay, go ahead. I want to
hurry to
get this all.
Yeah, so if you look at this situation, the regulatory environment, and it doesn't necessarily apply to the utility business. And I want people to hear you continue the conversation down the road, down the path of, okay, well, what happens when there's only one electric company providing all the electricity for the United States of America because you don't support any curbs on the activities of companies?
You mean if a monopoly occurred through the competitive environment? Is that what you mean, Todd?
Yes.
Well, that would be fine, because if that were to occur, that particular company would have to keep demonstrating their worth. Otherwise, other companies would enter. As long as there's no barriers to entry, then if they started to fail, other companies would just come in and take over. It requires.
But there's always barriers to entry caused by big players in any environment. Say, for example, they've signed lots of supply agreements with suppliers of electricity, who are they forced to devote 100% of their of what they generate to Eversource, assuming Eversource is this single company.
Well, that's what I mean by the regulatory environment, Todd. That type of regulation needs to go. That's the problem. That's what ultimately leads to the higher cost. It leads to inefficiency, and it just ultimately leads to bad results, whereas when markets are free, competition is stirred, more people get into the market, and if they can't...
No, but I'm asking you, I'm saying if we had a free market that you envision,
yes,
with the argument that you're making, and
yes,
Eversource grew through that free market and lack of government intervention, protection for citizens, which
okay,
they claim they can provide, and Eversource becomes the single biggest entity enveloping the whole country as the one supplier and of electricity, and then it starts shoring up its position, or it wouldn't start, it would have been doing it for a long time, signing contracts that block others from entry and stuff like that. Is there ever a point at which you say bring in the regulators?
No, I would not, but that example is a chimera, and I would challenge you or any of your callers to give examples throughout history where outside of government interference, an actual monopoly has been able to be established and raise their price above market levels. Because I can already hear people out there saying Standard Oil, because Standard Oil controlled 90% of the market. That's true, but they were able to do that because they kept their prices low, which is why one of the antitrust laws says that companies can't put their prices too low in order to eliminate competition.
Michael Leibowitz, we have to go to prison if we want to get wisdom.
I don't know if that's a good idea, but thanks a lot, Todd, and I'll be listening.
Thank you, Leibowitz. Good to talk with you. Oh, man. All right, let's get we'll start the rant line calls, and we'll take some phone calls. 860-522-9842. Phone lines are empty now, though. I don't know what Leibowitz did to cause everyone to do that, but somehow he got a monopoly over the phone lines. But you can call 860-522-9842, and we'll start the rants. All right, you ready for a little rant line action? Here we go.
Yeah, as Eversource continues to fail us during storms, I think towns and homeowners need to now take responsibility and ownership over the overgrown tree problem that continues to wreak havoc with the power lines during our storms. I think homeowners and towns... We do let our trees get too tall and loom over the power lines, and one reason is the cost of trimming and the tree removal. That's one reason why this isn't done. So I think homeowners actually should look at their property. If any tree could fall on a power line, it needs to come down, not trimmed, but just totally removed. And Eversource would pay for the cost of this tree work. Same with the towns. They should look at their town land and cut any trees down that could fall on a power line. And again, Eversource would underwrite the cost of this because they should be cutting the trees down, and they're not. So then when there's a bad storm, the onus would be on us as we're responsible for maintaining our own land. Again, and Eversource would pay for the tree work, but we would be responsible for the oversight. That way, if something happens and, you know, we're responsible for it, but we don't have to pay for it since Eversource isn't doing their job, I think that we should take ownership of the problem. Thank you.
All right, so this idea has been expressed a few times that it's the real problem that is going on is that individual homeowners block, they don't want trees near power lines on their property messed with. They don't want to trim them. They don't want to take responsibility on their own, and this is what leads to the problems. First of all, do you buy that? And second of all, do you think that there is some kind of solution where the responsibility could be shifted? Jack Newington. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you, Todd?
Go ahead.
Are we on air?
We're on air. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. My thing is, I think Eversource should be broken up. I go back to the days of the old Hartford Electric Light in Hartford. I grew up there. But they came in, Eversource came in, and there was very, very little publicity about it, where they were from or anything else. I heard they were from Massachusetts. And, you know, corporate-wise, it's been very, very quiet. You hear Mitch Gross talking on the radio, and he does a lot of political speaking to us and stuff. And but, you know, they're very, very unresponsive. And I was just listening. There was another station on, and a guy in Simsbury, a customer, resident in Simsbury, was talking. He said there were a whole load of trucks out in front of his house that work, and he had four bedrooms. And he says, where are you guys staying? He said he was going to give bedrooms to a couple of them if they needed it. And they said, oh, we go to Natick, Massachusetts every night. How do you like that one? They have to go to Natick
well,
in the evening, then come back in the morning.
Yeah, that's a bit of a haul, especially if you were dealing with winter and snow and stuff. I mean, right now it's not such
a big deal.
Well,
I don't know if that's a regular thing, but for this storm, they've been going, they've been, you know, bedding up in Natick. Maybe they, Eversource has some kind of contract with some hotels up there. But is there any reason why they couldn't put them up in motels or something, you know, they had power or hotels? I live about a half.
I would think that wouldn't be hard because I don't think the hotels are busy right now.
Yeah, I think it'd be real easy to put them in. To tell you the truth, I live about a half a mile north of the corporate headquarters. I'm actually in Newington, and we did not lose power. I had a blink of the light.
How about that?
We had a blink of the lights, and that was it. And there were some trees.
See, it's a rigged system in favor of Jack. Thank you, sir, for the call. Rant line, then another phone call.
Greetings, Todd, George, and Canton. Hey, Todd. Jolly Ned yesterday was full of righteous indignation about Eversource, and he was talking about how good behavior, a good effort should be rewarded and bad effort should be penalized. Maybe the left should listen to his advice that the left, the politicians making bad decisions, should be held accountable just like he wants Eversource held accountable. It's not a new concept to us, but it is to the left. Thanks, Todd.
Well, thank you. And that's a really good point. My first response when I heard this was, okay, Ned wants there to be a cause and effect between performance and pay. He wants market forces injected into a regulatory atmosphere. What he's doing is confessing that the regulation has killed performance, and he wants to restore values of capitalism and basic American values to the marketplace, which the left spends all its time trying to remove from the marketplace. Very interesting stuff there, George. Thank you for that phone call. 860-522-9842. Michael calling from Meriden. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Todd. Listen, this is just a common, humble opinion that I have. I think the Biden team ticket made a big mistake not going with Klobuchar. She would have won the upper Midwest. I'm probably a hardcore blue-blood Democrat who kind of turned libertarian, but I see nothing gained by going with Harris.
Really? But so if they had picked Klobuchar, she's more conservative than Biden, I think.
Exactly.
And that would have said to all those protesters who've been roiling the country over the past couple of months since the George Floyd killing, and to this pent-up demand on the left for more, move faster, give us more. And that would have said to them, forget about you guys. We are going right to the center. And we're going to ignore the left wing of the party. We're going to ignore all the energy of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes or
exactly.
The Johanna Hayeses. And that would have caused a war in the base of the party. Instead, what they're hoping to do is have Kamala Harris act like she is Amy Klobuchar, but represent visually the radical wing of the party, and thus cause a little anesthetization to take place.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with this approach?
Well, I just see Klobuchar as basically bringing along some of the moderate blue blood Democrats that would have voted for Biden, who are really basically swaying toward the Trump ticket. I just think personally, and it's just my humble opinion, that Klobuchar was just sharper. She's a pit bull just as much as Kamala Harris if not as not as much. I watched her closely during the Kavanaugh testimony, and she was able to come at Kavanaugh in a very direct, very sharp, non-defensive mode, where Harris is, you know, she's just a cowboy, in my opinion. So
yeah, but keep in mind what you were.
And we'll see
keep
what
in
happens,
mind,
right, Todd?
Keep in mind that what you were seeing with Amy Klobuchar during the Kavanaugh hearing was her in her position of comfort and strength. She was at her desk in the hearing room and in a comfortable territory. So she had home court advantage there. What we did see when Amy Klobuchar got out and campaigned was she's not all that appealing, and she didn't do all that great of a job once she was out there having to fight for votes in a political campaign. Now, Kamala Harris didn't do that either, but she's black, and the Democratic Party is all about race, and they want to keep the racial divide stoked. They have expectations built up in their party that requires them to be creating racial divide and racial strife and blaming it on other people who aren't doing anything so that they don't get blamed for it themselves. And they've got to keep that machinery going, I think. Anyway, it's interesting stuff. Thank you for the phone call. We'll take more rant line calls. We'll take more phone calls as well coming up. Rant line number 860-751-4698.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.